Today is Friday, July 16th.
Are we on the air or what?
You know, ladies and gentlemen!
God, you're modulating there. Pick up your phone. Get off the speakerphone, man.
It's no fun without doing it on the speakerphone.
Yeah. Very fun. I'm sure our listeners were very, very entertained. First there was dead silence. Didn't even know the show was going to come on. Now they got you screaming at them, stank dog.
It's not on yet. The music's still going. Where are we on now?
Yeah, we're on.
We're on.
We're on, dude. We're on the air. We're rolling.
We're on Default Radio.
That's right.
Well, I think at least spelling the show name.
Yeah, this is Default Radio with your host, Lucky225, and of course that screaming little bastard over there, Jake Dog.
Hey, you wouldn't have even gotten the show out if I hadn't reminded you what time it was, so come on now.
Well, we had everything ready. There was about 30 people messaging me if... asking if we were going to do the show. So let's get the show on the road, man. What the hell?
All right, let's roll. I'm through playing. I'll be serious now. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah, so you were at Hope.
Oh, man.
You were at Hope.
Yeah, and you weren't.
Yeah, that's right. I wasn't. I've been getting a lot of shit. Obviously, last week we had the special episode that Darcy dissed me on my own show.
That was funny.
Oh man,
that was doubly fun for me because not only did she come on and diss you, but also then I dialed in and tried to diss Not Theory by making it up like it was a lie.
Oh god!
I called in and said that's not really her. That's just some chick in the lobby. All mad at me, going no, it was that was her.
Well, I was listening to Off the Hook last week, and I noticed that were you there when Not Theory was up there in the elevator control room and everything, and they were urban exploring and everything?
I will neither confirm nor deny that report.
Okay, well, apparently, from what I've been told, the reports that are coming in on the wire, you guys were up there in the elevator control room, and I was listening to Off the Hook.
Hey, wait a minute. Allegedly.
You were allegedly in the
Please,
elevator.
Allegedly
in the elevator control room, and allegedly looking at the computer that controls those elevators. And I was listening to Off the Hook, and I was surprised to find out that Woz and Cheshire Catalyst and a couple of the the Fifth Hope security guys got stuck in an elevator mysteriously.
Fear.
I was wondering if that might have allegedly been one of you guys.
I absolutely was not involved in that whatsoever, and that's the truth, as far as I know.
And you can neither confirm nor deny if other suspects may have got Watts stuck in the elevator.
Oh, God, that's so wrong.
Wow.
I honestly have no idea how that could have happened. That's a truthful statement.
That is some hot shit right there. Guys, heard it here on Default Radio.
There was some elevator experimentation going on, and that's all I have to say about that.
I see.
I really don't think that had anything to do with us.
Okay.
Anyone.
Yeah. Well, they had theorized that maybe it was with Kevin, but I don't think Kevin had enough time to go Yueen, so I just thought...
Yeah, he said it was magic, so that means it must have been Kevin.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was Kevin Not Theory.
Well, allegedly. I don't know what...
Oh, boy.
Yeah. happened, and it's kind of funny to think, uh-oh, but no, I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
Right. It would be funny if that was, but whether it was or it wasn't, my story is still no.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to clear that up for our listeners.
Yeah, I'm glad we cleared that up like mud.
Like mud on my fucking tires.
There is a jar of mud.
That's right. Well, have a great Jen.
We're going again.
Say what?
We're going to Havoc's stuff already.
Well, I was just gonna note here that he had wrote in and provided.
Considering how you dissed him and all.
I had a sincere apology that I have demonstrated on the show many times my sympathy and my empathy for Havoc, and I cannot thank him enough for all the content that he provides for this show, since we're too lazy to get our own content. So it's nice that someone in Poland who doesn't even come on the show, because we have no way of bridging him in and we don't have a call-in line yet. It's nice that this guy in Poland that's trying hard out there sends us all this content. And trust me, he sent me a big email with just nothing but content. And also, he's been talking about these, I think it's ASCOM payphones. Let me verify the vendor there real quick. Yeah, it's ASCOM, ASCOM. He's been bitching about these payphones and how they're just such a piece of shit. That they're basically these payphones out there in Poland where you can put a smart card in and you can send an SMS message or an email, but it limits you to 250 characters, and there's a 10-minute time limit. And he had tried to send 1111 at defaultradio.com an email, and I guess it kept timing out. It took him 5 tries just to.
You only get 10 minutes, what, to type and complete the message?
Yeah, and if you write this big long paragraph and everything, and then you put the subject and the email address, and you got it all set, and you're just about to send it, if the 10-minute time's out, you lose everything and you have to start over.
Owned by a Polish phone, a smart card, and a dumb phone.
Yes.
I assume that means there's a keyboard to input it, or what do you like? Is it like SMS, like on a cell phone, where you have to punch the numbers 2 or 3 times to get your letters, or how does that work?
Yeah, I'm actually not quite sure. So I'm sure Havoc will write in or IM me or something during the show. I'm sure. Well, he said he was going to bed, so I'm sure after he downloads the show, he'll. He'll write in and tell us if there's a keyboard that pops out on these phones or whatever. But he said he was so fucking pissed and that these payphones are vandalism-proof. And he's all, now I know why, because they're because they just piss you off and you just want to vandalize them.
What makes them vandalism-proof?
I don't know. I guess there's all kinds of armor and stuff like that. It's just it's a piece of shit.
That's like saying something's hack-proof. I think that's not possible.
Oh, well, yeah, definitely.
Vandalism-resistant, possibly. I'll give it that.
Vandalism-resistant, rather.
And, what am I going to ask you this question? You have no concept of time zones. I was going to say, what time is it in Poland? You said he's going to bed. What time is it in Poland right now?
I have no idea. Go to time.gov.
You can't even tell what time it is here in the East Coast, so I don't know why I'm asking you.
Yeah, seriously. You know how I am with math.
Speaking of payphones, or I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. Were you done with that one?
No, yeah, go ahead.
One thing I was going to mention about, well, this isn't about hope, but this is just about being in New York. I was walking around quite a bit, and it was painfully obvious to me that it was Verizon country.
Oh, yeah.
All the phones that I saw, not all of them, but the majority of the payphones that I saw were all Verizon, marked with Verizon.
Yeah,
but I saw a lot of.
You don't see any Cocots except for in small little areas, but.
I did. That's what I'm getting at. I don't. Again, I'm. I'll ask the noob questions on here. You give me the answers since you're the freak master here. You're the. You know. Most of what I saw was Verizon payphones, but occasionally I would see a payphone with like this real obscure name on it or something. I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah.
And I assume that must mean that that's a Kokot. Am I correct in that assumption?
I would give you with 90% certainty that it was, yes, probably a Kokot.
And it sounded like a telephonic name of some sort, like I don't know, Chester Buckingham Phone Company or something like that. It sounded like a legitimate phone, you know, had the word phone in it or cell, or you know, something in it.
Yeah. Well, there's like down here, I'm trying to think of the name of one of the Kokots here that it has a similar sounding telco name, but it's totally a Kokot. But and it even has a symbol that when you look at it, it looks like the Pacific Bell symbol. And this was back before SBC. So you couldn't tell if it was a Pacific Bell phone or if it was a Kokot until you got up close to the phone a little bit. But from a distance, the symbol looked exactly the same as a Pac Bell symbol.
Well, I saw not only that one, but I saw about two or three others that were like that, different names. So there were some other non-Verizon payphones.
Yeah.
Now, I guess I had never thought about it before because, again, I'm not much of a phone freak, so I never thought about it until I was there. But I'm guessing now that well, tell me this. Can't a Kokot be owned by – it could be owned by something as small as an individual or a company, like Pizza Hut, for example, may own the payphone in their own lobby. Is that true or false?
That is correct, and that's exactly what a Kokot is.
But at the same time, can't a small businessman or a small local company – buy a block of payphones, like, for example, at a university or at a shopping mall, and only own that bulk or that bunch of phones within that shopping mall as a small...
That is exactly right. Because by definition of a Kokot, which stands for a customer-owned, coin-operated telephone, which the customer that owns this phone can put it wherever the hell they feel like. You know, like if Pizza Hut buys the phone, they're obviously going to put it in their store.
Right. I guess I was always under the impression that I knew what it stood for and what it meant, but I always thought that it was like a smaller company that kind of subleased them or subletted them out to, like Pizza Hut would have to contact either the big phone company, Bell South in my case, or they'd have to contact one of the smaller Kokot companies.
Actually, yes, that is also true. You can buy Kokots on the internet, or you know, you can buy the phone, and you can program it, and you can take care of the phone yourself. But a lot of the times, you are correct. There's like Kokot companies where they lease the phone to you on your premises, and you know they divide the profits with you. And the way that works is because the manager at Pizza Hut is not going to waste his time looking at the manual for this Kokot, and every time a new area code or a new prefix comes out, they have to change the rate inside the computer for the Kokot to reflect for this new area code so that people can actually dial those phone numbers without the phone giving it an error message. So... yeah, you are correct. A lot of the times there's like a Kokot provider, and what they'll do is they'll actually have software that calls all the Kokots that they own and updates them with all the new information and the new rates and everything like that.
I see. All right, so now that you confirm that, then I was wondering that these ones that I saw that had different company names on them, like, for example, I think I saw one or two in the subways that were like that.
Yeah.
Most of them were Verizon, like I said, but I found one or two in odd places in far corners of the subways anyway that were owned by different companies.
Uh-huh.
And I also saw a couple in Chinatown and Little Italy that were owned by independent. And I'm wondering if maybe that is some local, you know, individual or a small company that decided, you know, because I hope this isn't insulting to presume such a thing, but I would assume they'd be making a lot of international calls in Chinatown, calling outside, you know, calling home or whatever.
Yeah.
So possibly some local business had bought or made a Kokot because it was maybe possibly cheaper for them to run it and make it more convenient and easier.
Yeah, that's. I think that would be a fair assumption, actually.
Is that a reasonable thing to assume? Or
yeah, that's a reasonable thing. And plus, even with Kokots and everything, they put the II digits on those type of phone lines to reflect that it's a payphone. And when you place a call from a Kokot or from a mini payphone rather, to like your calling card or something like that, the owner of the payphone actually gets reimbursed for that person using an 800 number instead of depositing coins. So even though you're using your calling card, because you called an 800 number, the person that owns the 800 number actually has to pay you money because they're placing a toll-free call and not paying you money.
Whoa, back up. Let me make sure I understood that, because my next question may be I might have a little fear going on here. If you're saying that if I were to open up, what if I were to open up a Kokot and nobody ever used it to call a real number or a local number or long distance. They only used it to dial 800 numbers all day long.
Yep.
As the owner of that Kokot, I would still get paid because I get reimbursed by the owners of those 800 numbers?
That is correct. That's 100% correct. And that is why a lot of the times when you have a calling card and you go to use it at a payphone, a lot of the times they'll say, like, a two-minute surcharge will be deducted from your account because you're calling from a payphone, or we're going to deduct 20 cents more from your calling card because you're calling from a payphone, because they have to compensate for the money that they're going to pay the Kokot owner.
Fear. Okay, well then, that explains the other unusual thing I saw in Chinatown, and this is pretty cool. Right next to that, one of those payphones that I saw, again, I assume they make a lot of international calls, and you know they have a lot of street vendors and stuff in New York, particularly in Chinatown.
Yes.
One of the street vendors that was like a door away from that was a tiny little table, like literally one of those fold-out tables, and the table was covered with international calling cards.
Yeah.
So these people are probably, that little place may even be the owner of that Kokot, sell out the calling card, it's a 1-800 number, prepaid calling card, and make money not only off the sale of the card, but also the kickbacks from using the phone to dial an 800 number?
That is correct. That would be pretty logical there. If you were a payphone owner, you could also buy these calling cards in bulk and then sell them at a cheap price to these people on the street. And so everyone wins because they're getting a cheap rate from the calling card, and plus you're getting money because they're using your calling card to call and your payphone to call the calling card, you know.
It's probably still cheaper for them to do that as a consumer, to buy that prepaid card from you at a cheaper cost, and than it would be for them to either dial long distance from their home or from their cell phone or from another.
Yeah, and these people might not even live in New York. They may be just visiting too, and it would be a lot cheaper than, say, calling direct from the hotel.
Beer.
Yeah.
Mo money.
Yeah, are you going to open up a Kokot business now, Snake?
I'm going to buy one Kokot, and I'm going to sell cards right in front of it like that.
We used to talk about this on the SoCal, where we just put Kokots outside of our house and just, like, have it just
for that?
Do 800 scanning and everything.
Yeah, encourage people to scan 800 numbers from your Kokot.
I was going to say, I don't even have to sell cards. I'll just sit up in front of it, dial 800 numbers, and take the phone off the hook, or just power dial, just speed dial through 800 numbers.
Yeah. Well, the problem with Kokots, though, is that the dial tone you hear isn't a real dial tone. It stores your phone number and then redials, so scanning would be a little bit hard, but I guess, I think you only get reimbursed per call. I don't think it's a per minute type thing. So you couldn't just call an 800 number and leave it off hook.
Cause you'd have to just power, you'd have to speed dial through things.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's the thing that Brisk was talking about in the forums about the day after tomorrow, where all the power was going out and everything. He picks up the phone. It's like, oh, there's a dial tone. The phone works.
Oh, God. what was that movie that you're talking about?
Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah, The Day After Tomorrow.
The world's restoring. And you're like, you know, that makes sense. Yeah, the dial tones are generated by the phone itself. But wouldn't the phone, like, be out if the world's destroying? Like, wouldn't the central office just be gone by now?
Yeah, yeah.
And if cell phones are getting, all circuits are busy, you know.
Yeah, it is pretty stupid. But again, this is movie fantasy, if you will.
Yeah, kind of like when you bitched about in Phone Booth where you were complaining about the encryption or something. That's not possible.
It isn't.
And I was
like,
it's a movie.
I'm not going to get in the conversation again.
Dude, I just checked this out. I went to go get the mail, and my neighbor has that garage door opener on the side where you enter the passcode. Guess what the passcode was?
1234?
No.
1111?
It's the digit of her address of her house.
Oh, God! Oh, no!
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Everything is on default. Even Doug's neighbors are on default, folks. You see this?
Garage door openers.
God. Well, and the sad thing is, she had to set that passcode.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, to set the passcode to the digits that are in your address, like, what
were
you
Or maybe
thinking?
It was professionally installed and they set that as the default for them. But either way, they should have changed it.
Yeah, that is just pretty sad.
We used to have that, and the last four in our house, like, this is the longest time, because the last four was the last four of a phone number.
Yeah, that's another one.
Now looking back on it, it's just like, man, we could have got owned.
Yeah. When I worked at that PI place, the code to get into their door was the last four of their phone number.
Oh, man.
All right, anyway, I guess my phone education is over with. Now we're talking about neighbors and...
Well,
I got something out of this show, if nothing else, before it went to...
before it went back into default mist. I was going to read one email that Doug had sent me here. Let me see if I still got it up.
Sounds like a problem.
Yeah, you didn't paste the guy's email address. Am I correct in saying that his handle was phone line with a 0 and a 3, I think?
Yeah, I think you're right. I'll have to check that.
Oh, it's not a 0. It's a capital O. Phone line writes in and says, I was listening to Default Radio, and you didn't have what the regulations were on cyber cafes in Los Angeles, so I came across an article stating that the regulations would require cafes with at least 5 computers to obtain a police permit, install security cameras, and ban minors during school hours. Here we go again with this, and Doug, I think you can attest to this, with this banning minors during school hours.
Minor?
Doug over here is a minor, but he doesn't go to school. Okay, we were talking about this, I think, on the show either last week or the week before, because I guess some kid got murdered in Orange County at a cyber cafe over a game.
Right.
Well, I didn't have the regulations. Were not listed in the article that I was reading. And phone lines writing in and saying that the regulations would require that cyber cafes that have at least 5 computers to obtain a police permit, install security cameras, and ban minors during school hours.
During school hours?
Yeah, during school hours. Now, you know, and there's people like you, Doug, and other minors who may also be in your position or that may have obtained a California high school proficiency exam and have had their parents' consent to drop out of high school. And here they are, and they can't even go into a cyber cafe. Just to play games, you know?
Well, it's the same fucking thing as the city doing that curfew law where during school hours, doesn't matter if you're graduated, you're homeschooled, doesn't matter what the case, during certain hours in the day, you're not allowed to be outside unless you're with a guardian or parent.
Yeah, I'm not following this one again. I could understand the curfews at night, you know, where, yeah, you got to be inside before 10, whatever. I can't really understand those, but at least it's more logical. But during school hours, you're not allowed to be outside and be in the public just because you're supposedly supposed to be at school, which is just an assumption. Anyway.
I understand if you're fucking ditching and you're supposed to be in school and you're truant. That makes perfect sense. But if you're graduated early, if you're legally, like, in another kind of school program, you know, they're still saying, oh, well, it's during school hours. We don't want you outside, you know. That's just, it's like prison.
Yeah, that is just stupid. They're confining you to basically you have to stay in your house. And, you know, it doesn't even matter if all your schooling is complete or anything. They're just saying, like, well, you're a minor. Stay inside. You don't know how to take care of yourself. We'll give you a license to drive, but you're not allowed to go out and drive to these places.
Yeah, we'll give you a license to drive, but you can only drive, like, 1 hour a day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, seriously, in fact, I think... The California driver license is when you're a minor, you can't drive after 10 o'clock, right?
Right.
So what is the point of the driver license if you're not in school and you can't drive during school hours because because that apparently is illegal now.
You're
you can't even
drive to and from school, but that's it. That's the only purpose of driving if you're under a minor. You know,
I mean,
you could drive during the evening, the afternoon, and shit on the weekends and everything, but
yeah, but I guess you can't drive after 10, you can't drive during school hours. What's the point of the license?
There isn't any. And then you have that, the first 6 months, you can't drive with anyone under 25, and then after the 6 months, then you can drive with anyone, but you still have the curfew law until you're 18.
Yeah. I don't even see the point. I think you guys should just wait until you're 18.
Well, this is
go
exactly
through all this.
What I'm doing. Yeah, I have no rush to get a license. I don't mind walking or riding a bike.
Yeah, well, you can't do that during school hours either. You can't do anything. And then you can't do it after school hours either because that would be a curfew violation. Oh, boy.
If you act like it's 10 o'clock right when school has ended.
It should be. Well, I'm serious. It's like you got that window. It's like
not allowed to go outside, and then they wonder why society is a bunch of fat kids now.
Yeah,
but you won't let them go out.
You got people like Accident who are only home on the computer, you know, fucking on the internet, on the phone and shit. It's because of this shit. You can't go outside anymore. Whatever happened to going to playgrounds and going on swings and going to the pool?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It apparently looks like you got this window of 3 o'clock to 10, or yeah, about 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. I guess that's when you're when they allow the minors to go outside.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that the playgrounds belong to drug dealers now.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I think they should put a payphone right in the middle of the slide.
They'd make a lot of money.
God.
Back to the payphones. I was scared to touch the payphones down in the bottom level of the subway.
Yeah, I would be too.
But they were pretty functified. They had gum stuck to them and graffitied all up and just, they didn't look healthy. There's diseases down there that haven't been discovered yet. I'm sure of it.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, and speaking of payphones, I'm going to go back to Havoc. I got all his
diseases. Oh, never mind.
God, I got all his news articles on up here. Looks like payphones are disappearing, apparently.
Yeah.
According to this news article in the Kinston, the Kinston Times? I don't know. The Free Press, apparently. Kinston, North Carolina. They're just talking about, apparently all these payphones are disappearing. Close to home, regional communications provider Bell South just finished pulling the plug on about 15,000 cell phones nationwide. Overall,
cell phone.
Yeah, overall, the number of payphones in North Carolina has been cut in half since 1999.
Sweet.
Yeah. So cell phones are just cell phones, voice over IP, they're just cutting everyone. Payphones are just like dying. They're just like, I think they're gonna strike revenge, Doug.
Okay, yeah. Not that idea. Oh,
the payphones are going to come alive.
I don't want to go over that story again.
And they are going to wrap their armored cord around your neck and just choke you until you start using them again. So go out and use payphones, people.
You know, we have like, a lot of jokes to use about those payphones, like if payphones could talk or whatever. I forgot what they were.
were you going to say, Stank? I was waiting for you to key up.
I forgot.
What the hell?
I don't know, dude. I thought the show was about phones. I was going to talk about phones, but y'all are talking about fucking choking people and shit.
Hey, I'm talking about payphones choking people. All right?
Yeah. Bell South, quite a while ago, announced that they were getting out of the payphone business down here, and I think I talked about it on BenRev once before, that how at the university that I formerly worked for, not anymore, but the university I used to work for outsourced it to another sub-company, which obviously would be a COCOT, some kind of COCOT company that owns all the phones on the university now.
Uh-huh.
It did, as they dropped from about 30 or so payphones from that we were getting from Bell South.
Yeah.
And
so like
now,
15 COCOTs or something?
Yeah, now there's like 3.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, this COCOT company only kept like 3 of them that were actually making money, supposedly. So all the rest of them disappeared completely. And in general, Bell South supposedly was getting out of it, and this was probably a year ago. No, it's probably not a year ago. It's probably 6 months to a year ago, easily.
Nice.
So they're probably just now finishing up the last of them. It probably started then.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's Bell Southland, and I presume that it's going to happen to all the big bells.
Oh, yeah. I've been hearing about Bell South getting out of the payphone business for quite a while. I remember they cut all of their payphones over to COCOTs a long time ago. You couldn't even find any payphones that used coin signaling. And this was way before AT&T shut off their long distance for accepting coins for long distance calls. Yeah, but Bell South has just been wanting to get out of that business forever. I was going to see here. There was another article. Let me see. There's one more on payphones here. Jesus Christ, he's sending a lot of material here. Oh, man. I'm serious. Okay. He basically pasted a whole article into this email, so I'll read that a little bit later. But, no, I think the rest of this these articles are going to be about cell phones and things like that. So, let me page up. There was one article here that says the United States is going to reject net phone call tax. They're not going to – the IRS and everyone does not plan on imposing a tax on voice over IP phone calls yet or internet phone calls simply because they haven't got the grasp of what VoIP is yet and how to regulate it. So the IRS has no interest in taxing – voice over IP services, according to this article from San Mateo County Times, wherever the hell San Mateo is. Let's see here. And also, Verizon Airphones are going to have a new feature. You can place a collect call from 120,000 feet in the air. Wondering how much that's going to cost you.
On our flight to New York and back, they didn't even have those phones available on the plane.
They didn't?
Heck no, man. Spirit Airlines. They might as well change it to Soul Plane, because that was ghetto air, man.
wait, what carrier are you speaking of?
Spirit Airlines.
God, man. Even... I know Southwest does not have phones on all of their planes, but they do have it on some.
Neither my flight up nor my flight back had the airphone on it that I saw.
Nice. Well, I know on those Verizon airphones, another interesting feature was I think you could slide like any credit card through, and it would give you a dial tone, and you could just dial out. And like, I believe like you could put like you could just slide like a prepaid credit card through that doesn't have a balance, and I think someone else had told me they had even slid a Barnes and Noble gift card through because it had a Discover card algorithm, and they made their call out from the air phone or from a train phone using a Barnes & Noble gift card. So I thought that was kind of interesting because they don't verify until, I guess, after the call is complete, and then they try and charge your card.
I was going to say, can they even communicate that high in the air? Does it wait till it lands and gets back within communications range?
Yeah, and I mean, it's just kind of a nifty little feature that you can slide the card, you know, and then it automatically gives you a dial tone and lets you dial out. I think there's also which is kind of odd because I think there's also like another option where you can place collect calls and credit card calls through the calling service, like this article is saying, you hit *800 for 1-800 use the VC, but I think there was also another like calling card collect call type service that they had on before that allowed you to place credit card calls, and I'm sure if you entered a credit card that was invalid, it wouldn't let it go through. So again, they're giving away convenience at a price. I mean, instead of you having to type in the whole card number, you just slide the mag stripe, and it's like, oh well, this is legitimate. We'll bill them after the call is complete.
That's something I'd like to read an article. I don't know if anybody's written a good in-depth article about how Airphone works in general.
Yeah, and I think air phones, and there's also train phones, which operate in the same similar manner. They probably operate on the same frequencies and everything. You know, it's just basically a mobile phone.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Use your calling cards and stuff like that? I mean...
Yeah, you can use your calling cards and stuff if you... Well, it has to be like a telephone company calling card, not a 800 number, you know.
And then they charge you, I mean, are you going to get hit by Airphone?
Yeah, you probably get charged some ridiculous amount. I think it was like, just for a credit card call on those type of phones, I think it was like $10 a minute.
Googling.
Yeah, $10 a minute. I think that's what I was heard quoted one time. Ah, oh, boy. Let's see. 1 million pounds in international phone fraud. This is from the Asian News. A 63-year-old man fraudster conned telecom companies out of 1 million pounds by operating an international calls racket. Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. Kushi Mohammed bought services from British Telecom and other companies in order to operate a 6-booth international telephone center in North Manchester. But instead of passing on the companies their cut of the revenue from customers, Mohammed from Swain Street in Nelson kept the lot. He pleaded guilty to conspiracy to defraud a number of telecommunications companies of over 1 million pounds and has been given a 3.5-year jail sentence. Man, I fear this. I guess this guy opened up like a CLEC or equivalent and leased all this, all these lines from British Telecom and others. And, basically just charged his customers a lot of money, and instead of giving the money back to the telcos, he just kept it all. I fear.
Yeah,
that's pretty elite. Let's see here. Ooh, AT&T Wireless set to roll out fast service. Let's see what this is about.
I don't know if I'd call that
leak. Yeah, well, I'm just saying. Oh, yeah, this is the same story that Doug had pasted me. AT&T Wireless is set to start rolling out fast 3G wireless access in 4 cities next week, according to some press reports. The company has previously said it would roll out the service, which provides speeds of about 300 kilobits per second in 4 cities by the end of the year. That rollout required an agreement with NTT Docomo, which owns 16% stake in the company, which is now singular, but anyways. So I guess they're going to start rolling out 3G for all those people that have 3G phones and can't actually use them in four cities. Wonder how long it's going to take them to do that and then to get around to the rest of their nationwide coverage. Let's see. Here's another scam here. Bokeman guilty in $13 million scam. Let me see what the hell this is about.
Who is this? Did you say Boca?
Yeah.
All right, what's the name? Maybe I know him.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Yes, it is Boca. Bokeman guilty in $13 million scam. Fort Lauderdale, a federal jury Tuesday, convicted one-time telecommunications mogul Arne Storied of pocketing $13 million in a three-year scheme of stealing long-distance phone customers and padding their bills with fake charges during the heyday of long-distance deregulation. Industry abuses become so rampant in the late 90s that federal prosecutors stepped in where state regulators had stumbled and applied the hard-nosed zeal typically reserved for fighting mobsters and hitmen to a new menace, discount phone startups staffed by telemarketers in windowless offices.
I actually saw that in the local paper here, I think, but I didn't read the full story or anything yet.
Yeah, this is all slamming and cramming, which I think many of us should be familiar with, where basically they call you up on the phone and ask you if you'd like to switch your carrier. And, of course, you say no, but then they ask you another question where you say yes, and they dub the recording together so that they can call up your provider and switch your carrier to theirs and start cramming you with all kinds of other, BS on your phone bill. And then they keep all the money.
Now that's not elite.
No, that's not elite.
Definitely.
Yes.
What is the opposite of elite? Do we have a word for that?
What, non-elite?
Alright, Lucky.
Yes.
Am I interrupting anything? I got something to say.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I called American Airlines because they have the airphones, and they bill it as a full minute. It's not billed until it's connected, luckily. But it's $5 for the connection plus $10 per minute.
Yeah, see, I told you, $10 a minute. And this is American Airline rates, huh?
Right, and the guy was like, I don't even know why anyone ever uses this, but it's in the Sky magazine in the plane, but he opened it up for me, and he was saying it's that much. It's $5 for connection, $10 a minute. So start scanning in the plane.
So for the very first minute, even if you only made a one-minute phone call, it would be $15.
Right, and it only charges when it supervises, when he says it, when it connects. But still, that's a lot of damn money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think whoever runs these airphones has a monopoly on them. So, they pretty much control the prices. It's like, fear. You don't want to pay it? Don't use our phone.
Yep. Just put like a Coca pay phone on the plane. That'd be lead.
Yeah.
Next to the bathroom.
Okay, here's another article that
insert $15 in coins.
Oh God.
Beep. That's a lot of beeping, Lucky. Beep, 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 beep.
I had to set the phone down there for a second. Oh man. Yeah, so here's another article that Havoc sent in. Jesus, this is like Havoc Hour or something. That he wanted us, he said this is a very good article that we should read on the air. Telecom fraud is on the rise. Fraud continues to pound the U.S. telecom industry with little sign of letting up. Fraudulent use of networks and theft of service in all sectors of telecom industry continue to grow between 10% and 12% annually. Though accurate fraud figures are nearly impossible to pin, between $4 billion and $22 billion is lost each year, and up to 10% of a carrier's bottom line is lost to simple subscription fraud and other low-tech scams, such as when criminals sign up for service using fake names. The use of fake addresses is also on the way up. Studies show that more fraud is being set up on legitimate accounts with good credit, indicating that outsiders are stealing ID information from good customers and obtaining fraudulent accounts that they subsequently abuse and abandon. A bad address is the key indicator in 90% of fraud cases. According to telecom security reports, no sector of the industry is immune. Perpetrators, through fraudulent access to networks, can avoid paying for wireless service, steal and resell long-distance minutes to friends and strangers, or hijack a network device and send unsolicited commercial email or pornographic spam to unsuspecting end users. Nice. Databases are weak on security. When one understands that every telecom service ever invented is subject to attacks from fraudulent users, it's easy to see why subscription fraud leads the list. Each kind of telecom offering, from voice to wireless data, is supported by a customer database that contains billing name and address information and product catalog that matches the customer's account number to the service order.
The hell was that?
I think that was Doug. So basically, they're talking about how Singular Wireless had problems. Singular Wireless in June halted its trial of an online customer account system that let users access their account balance and remaining minutes through a combination of phone number and zip code. Singular finally shut down this system after customers called and complained that they didn't want that information so easily available to hackers, says Singular spokesperson Patrick Forte. He says no information was ever exposed to unauthorized users. Yeah, right. Can we say Prism? The company immediately disengaged sensitive portions of the platform, including an IVR system that lets customers pay using a method they already use, such as credit card. What we've disabled on the phone system is the feature that lets customers use a prior payment method to pay their bills. Singular wanted to stop the possibility of that happening through an unauthorized user would have only been able to pay someone else's bill without the real subscriber's knowledge. So I guess they're saying if you knew the person's cell phone number and zip code, you could call up and pay their bill with their own credit card.
Hey.
Which could be amusing. But,
Not really, no.
So it's just basically talking about how fraud is on the rise. It's even talking about voice over IP.
It's always on the rise.
It is always on the rise, yes.
Population is always on the rise. Therefore, the amount of fraud, people committing fraud is on the rise. It's like the amount of people committing murder is on the rise. The amount of everything is on the rise because we're growing.
Yes, that is sort of a true statement, Stink. But 10 to 12% each year is it's kind of a lot.
Also, their definition of what constitutes fraud would come into question.
That is correct, yeah.
Because we all know how well the media does at defining things.
Yeah, well, I mean, but they are kind of correct in a sense. They didn't bring up a good point, though, about exposing customers' information through social engineering, which can be done with basically any cell phone carrier or telecommunication provider. You know, they usually don't verify anything. A lot of the times these telecom providers rely on your social security number as the key to verification, which we all know is a weak key. And even if you don't know it, a lot of the times you can just tell these telecom providers, I don't feel comfortable giving out my social security number, and they'll just say, oh, okay, well, we respect your privacy, and we'll let this one-time thing go by. And sometimes they'll even offer to let you set up a password after they haven't even verified the last four of your social. And then you can just come back after you set up a password on the account and just keep coming back and getting information on the account through the password, you know, that you set up after they didn't even verify anything. So, I mean, it's no wonder that fraud is on the rise when, you know, it's so easy to manipulate these people, and they have systems that, like Singular System over there, that doesn't even ask for your social. It just asks for your zip code, which is even weaker.
Hey, I'm live while we're recording this. I'm browsing through Hope's site.
Okay. Is there anything of interest?
Well, I thought this was a humorous story. I'll tell it anyway. I'm browsing through Hope's site because on the front page now they put up links to a bunch of people who have pictures. Yeah, I just shifted gears on the show real bad, didn't I?
That's fine. We only got about 10 minutes left, so as long
as... I'm browsing through, clicking to see who's got pictures or who's taken what pictures. I have not extracted any of my pictures from the camera yet. I've been pretty much exhausted since I got back and working. So I'm browsing through some other people's pictures. But the funny thing is, the thing that made me laugh just now was I'm not going to say which one of them. I guess anybody who's studious enough that wants to go look, opened a directory transversal just a tad bit. And I can go into the directory where their pictures are, but I can also drop down to the parent directory of that and see a lot of other interesting things down there.
A lot of other interesting things, huh?
Like key generator... some .c program that I don't even want to... Well, I'm going to look at it anyway. What is this?
Okay, I think our listeners... I think they get the point that... does he have a robots.txt telling people not to go there?
No, it looks like shell injection code or something. It's DCOM RPC overflow, and yeah, it's just an old script.
Yeah, I understand that, but the directory that you're in, does his website have a robots.txt telling you not to go there?
No, I'm not a robot. I didn't look. Let me see. he has a robots.txt, but this is not in the disallow, so no.
Oh, my God. So he's just letting anyone...
Perfectly valid, and he wants us to be there, so I'm there.
Okay. So he probably wants people to see that anyways.
Exactly. Absolutely. I'm sure he wants everybody to know he has a key gen there.
Okay.
Well, they do now.
Yeah, or at least state that exposed it.
Owned!
Okay, all right.
Well, I got some information that fucking I totally forgot to talk about VoicePulse.
Okay.
Fucking VoicePulse now has customer service, an actual customer service line.
Oh, yeah.
Old. And not only that, they also have some a little bit, they're upgrading it lately. They have this new feature. They have now virtual numbers that are even cheaper than Vonage's $5 a month or whatever it is. It's now only like $2.99 a month for a virtual number anywhere in the country to point to your VoicePulse line. So for an extra $3 a month, you can have another phone number with your VoicePulse account. Not only that, even our good friends at Packet 8 finally have 24/7 800 customer support. So
So call and harass them about why their service sucks.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I actually remember when we called them up asking them what their definition of unlimited is, like how long, and he's like, it's a very, very big, big number. It's
yeah,
like
somewhere in the thousands. Ooh, thousands is such a big number.
You know what? It's not the fact that I can understand. Yeah, 5,000 minutes. Yeah, that's going over unlimited. Well, it's not going over unlimited, but I can understand. You know, maybe that's where they can draw the line between personal and business. A lot of telco companies do that. But when Packet 8 is complaining about local calls and incoming calls, because those minutes include incoming and local calls.
Yeah, they're just looking at the total. They're not looking at outgoing long-distance minutes. They're looking at outgoing local and incoming calls, and they're just rounding it all. They're rounding it all up to the same number of minutes and saying,
right.
Ooh, exactly. Well, you receive this many calls, so you must be a business, sir. You make lengthy local calls like no one out there ever talks to their friends for hours on end that are local to them.
Yeah, I mean, unlike, you know, Vonge and Voicewolf, they actually divide it into free minutes or void-to-void fucking local calls, regional, long distance. But Packet 8, all they do is Packet 8 to Packet 8 minutes, international, and PSTN.
Yep. Yep, and PSTN minutes is just a big number to them. And if they don't like that number, they just shut off your account and bill you $300.
That's why you should always check your control panel, make sure your phone company isn't screwing you over.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We only have a couple more minutes here. What time do you have, Doug? Are we about to end the show here?
7:56. Yeah, we can wrap it up. It's okay if we go a couple minutes if we're late. It's okay.
Okay. Well, I was just gonna comment that that Vonage also has a little bit of an exploit that we'll be talking about at DEF CON. I just wanted to let people know about that. That, you know, all these voice over IP companies and their gaping holes. So that Vonage now has another little bit of a hole in it that we'll be talking about. And huh?
It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
it's more than a little bit. It's more than a little hole.
Yeah, it's a gaping hole. But we're gonna keep that split on the down low. Basically, we didn't get to talk about this earlier in the show. This is what we should have brought up: is a lot of the ANACs are dying, like 800-555-1140, and even the real time ANAC 800-225-5313. When you call these numbers now, all you get is a busy signal. And that's going to make it...
It's not a busy signal. It's just disconnected. It depends on where you're calling from, but it's disconnected is what it is. If you're going to get a reorder, if you call from a landline, you're going to get this number has been disconnected or whatever. So, yeah,
When I called from my landline, I got a busy signal. But that's really? Besides the point is that these ANACs are going down, and that's going to make it hard for me to do my presentation. So I want to discuss this Vonage exploit, but... I sort of want it to work during the DEF CON presentation. So I encourage everyone to go out to DEF CON and see what we're talking about, because this is more than a little hole, as Stink Dog had said. It's sort
I'm not going to give anything more than that, but, yeah, that's going to be a good one. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And I want to also pimp out bellsmind.net, because KnotTheory is doing a lot of kick-ass shit with that website. Especially, you know, submitting scan numbers and shit. Big shout to that test set guy. He submitted like 60 numbers, more than KnotTheory, for fucking just ANACs, recordings, a whole bunch of shit. So you got to check out bellsmind.net. Plus, me and KnotTheory are going to work on something to put a default radio on the PBX as well. So that'll be cool. So
people I definitely got a shout out to Bellsmind, because you can reach that PBX from any type of telephony, man. Fucking free world dial-up, anything. It's great. And speaking of which, I wanted to give out another conference number here. 514 on free world dial-up, that'll drop you into a conference. And I've heard a lot of voice over IP phone freaks and the like that hang out in that conference. It is kind of annoying. A lot of the times when people disconnect, it gives a busy signal for like 5 seconds, which is kind of annoying. But other than that, that's a pretty good conference to meet other voice over IP phone freaks. And, of course, I had a couple of them switch over to KnotTheory's box on our conference. Big shouts to Free World Dial-Up and KnotTheory and the PBX, Bell's 9. And I guess we're going to wrap this up.
Yeah, and actually, I've got a comment that'll lead to your closing catchphrase. And that is that the reason all these ANACs are suddenly disappearing is because things are being monitored and things are being watched.
Yep.
Being watched because everything, and Lucky, I think you know what I mean.
Everything is always on default. Good night, everyone.